Wow, how do I top that? Thanks, Lord. Throw me in the deep end. First of all, I want to thank you, Lord God, for giving me the honor and privilege of speaking with your children today. I want to thank you, Tim, for trusting me to deliver his word in our house. And I want to thank all of you for being here for your Jesus today. You are not here by accident. Nothing we do is by accident. You made the choice this morning to get out of bed and come to church. God sees that. He knows that. And he has something very special for you today. Okay, please give me time out when it's... because I could go on. The Holy Spirit, he has a burning love for you all. Now, he wouldn't stop telling me how much he loves you all. When I got asked to do this message, it was like a weight on me from heaven, and it would not leave me. And there was a point last Monday where I had to say to the Lord, okay, Lord, enough, enough, I can't handle it. My heart was just burning, like, ah. And your faces kept flashing up in my mind, and he was saying, tell them I love them. Tell them I love them. There was a little bit in there where I was saying, Lord, I'm just so stressed out. I don't know what to tell them. And he said, you be you. So I'm encouraging you all today. You be you. You are unique. You are made in the image of God. And if we were all the same, if we were all exactly the same, what a boring kingdom it would be. But we're all different. We all have our own flavor. But we're made in the image of God. So when you're you, you can't go wrong. Okay? You be you. Okay. Now, at the end of this, I was going to play a song, but maybe we'll leave that for another time because it'll go on for a bit too long. But now I just want to talk on some things that have helped me through depression and rejection. I just want to share with you that when you're depressed, oftentimes a spirit of rejection is attached to the depression. And I know this because I went through it myself. But here today, I'm going to tell you seven truths that will unlock the lies of the enemy. Because when you receive the spirit of rejection, all of a sudden you start believing the lies of the enemy. And we're going to replace that with the truth. Are you ready? Number one, truth. His love will never leave you. The lie is, I'm alone. When rejection enters our hearts, we feel alone. Now I'm here to tell you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you haven't done that you know you should have done, no matter who rejects you, his love will never, ever leave you. Most of us don't feel good enough to be loved by God. We're carrying guilt and shame from our past, which holds us captive and bound. But it's time to believe the word of God. Believe in what you read. Believe it. We have to devour this word. We can't just have it in our hands. We have to devour the word of God. And I know the enemy comes with other stuff the moment you open this up. He brings other stuff your way. Devour his word and you will be set free. It's his promise. God says that he loved you so much that he sent his son to die for your sins so that when you believe you will not perish but have everlasting life with him. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. It's God himself who comes to you first. He's chosen you. He's appointed you and he came to this world to save you. He takes it further by meeting you exactly where you are right now and it's his love and power that deliver you. He promises to never leave you and he promises to be with you. Now, plastered next to my bed, I've got something on the wall with blue tack and because of the heat in Bundaberg, it's always like slipping down and I'm putting it back up. And it says in big bold writing, Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. If I wake up at 2 a.m. and I look over at the wall, Jesus says, I'm with you always. I was not raised in a Christian home. I did not come from Christian parents, nor anyone in my family who was a Christian. I didn't go to Christian school, And I lived in the world doing what people in the world do. I'd been rejected. I'd been abused, teased, bullied, betrayed, and neglected. But then. Don't you love that? But then Jesus found me in my mess. He revealed himself to me and he rescued me from sin and darkness. He delivered me. He baptized me in his spirit. He gave me the gift of tongues. He gave me a new family. Thank you for these beautiful brothers and sisters, Lord. He set me free from guilt, shame, addiction, suicidal thoughts, and demonic oppression. He gave me hope for my future, and he showed me his love in ways that I cannot put to words. He met me where I was spiritually, and I cannot erase that. I cannot erase that. So now, when I am a Christian, why is it that we find it so hard to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, show me the way? If he came for you when you were in your mess, sinning, in darkness, why wouldn't he come for you now when you've given your heart to him? Romans 8:38-39 says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the truth. Nothing can separate you. You know, the Lord was the fourth man in the fire with Daniel. He was in there with him. And nothing happened to those guys, those Hebrew guys. When they came out of the fire, they weren't harmed, nor was one hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. The Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den, and you all know this story. They were thrown in the lion's den overnight. And in the morning, when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in his God. Every single story in the Bible reflects how God is with us. Every person, every story in the Word demonstrates the fact that he keeps meeting with us and he wants to engage with us. Now, back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, he could have banished them to hell. And he could have said, that's it. I've had enough. And he could have destroyed them and remembered humanity no more. But God did not do this. He kept us going and he had a plan of redemption. Not only did he have a plan, but his love for us never changed from before the fall to after the fall. It was human nature that changed when sin entered, because man chose to follow the voice of the enemy instead of obeying the voice of God. So God never changed. We did. As a result, shame and guilt entered the picture and man withdrew and hid from God. But God still came to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and he wanted to commune with them, even though they had gone against him. He was offering them the space and the time to repent, but what we read, they never did. Still, God's love remained and still remains to this day. Do not accept the lies of the enemy when he brings accusation against you. Guilt, shame, feelings of unworthiness when you stumble. Don't run away from God during these times, but run towards him. Because the moment you call out his name and repent, it's his love that brings you back in. Nothing can separate you from that. Nothing. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say you can't go to God. You know you can. Even when opposition comes, he is with you. Now, I've got to let you in on a little thing, which I'm sure you've all learnt in your lifetime. People will let you down. Okay? Did you get that one? Write it down. God never will. People will reject you. God never will. People will misunderstand you. They won't get you. You know? They're going to think, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? They won't get you. God gets you. He knows. People will hurt you, but God never will. We are imperfect. God is perfect. He's the only perfect one. Now, I say this to my friends all the time. If you find the perfect church, I want you to pinch yourself because you could be in heaven right now. You're never going to find the perfect church. You're never going to find the perfect school for your kids. There's always going to be something. You're never going to find the perfect workplace. There's always going to be a problem that we're going to be faced with. Okay? But God knows and he'll show you the way. All right? When others hurt you, reject you, disappoint you or let you down, just remember, even those little kitties that you gave birth to, they let you down too. Mine do it almost on a daily basis, let me share with you. You know, the little disrespectful that you get. But we love them, hey. I don't hold a grudge against my little boy when he's been naughty. I still love him. And you know what I say to him when we get home? What do you want me to buy you when we go to Woolies? I want to give him gifts. That's how God sees you when you stumble and fall. When you go to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I really, really, really stuffed up. He says, it's okay, my child. Now, what do you want? What do you want from Woolies? When you go to Woolies, you're going to think of this. Or Coles? Yeah. Number two, truth. He wants all of you. The lie is, God doesn't want me. When rejection enters our hearts, we feel unwanted. But I want to tell you that God is jealous for you and he wants 100% of you. I've learned that by giving him 90% leaves a void that nothing else can fill. Do not make an idol for yourself with that 10%. By making an idol for yourself and worshipping someone or something other than God, it puts you in a very dangerous place because offense can creep in. We become more sensitive to the world's ways when we let the world dominate our souls and we feel the effects of rejection deeper as a result. But when we soak ourselves in the presence of God daily and we walk with him and we talk with him and we lean on him, when things go wrong, somehow and in some way when rejection comes, you'll hear him say, it's okay, I'm here. That's what he says to me. You know, when things go wrong and I get hurt, he says, I'm here, I'm here. You know, when you weren't invited to that party, say, you hear Jesus says, okay, I'm here. You know, when you're not in that group, that's okay. Because you know what Jesus says? You're in my group. When you're not on that team, but you want to be on that team, Jesus says, don't worry, you're on my team. When you look at things the way Jesus does, instead of from the world's perspective, when things like this come at you, it's water off a duck's back. It's like, you know what? That's cool. That's all right, Lord. But when you look at it from the world's perspective, you get hurt. Exodus 34:14 says, do not worship any other god, little g, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. When we've been rejected and we believe the lies that we're not wanted, we end up running to other things. And I've learnt in this lifetime that nothing on this earth can fully and completely satisfy my heart. I've learnt that. We think we'll have it all when we meet that special person. Oh my gosh, when we meet my husband, whom I do love. When you meet that wife, yeah, I do. He's good. I couldn't do this if he wasn't doing that. You saw me last week when I was reprimanding my little boy in the front. My husband wasn't there at the time. That's why I need him. Otherwise, I can't do what God's called me to do. We think when we get married, when we have children, yay, I'm going to have it all. You heard my testimony, how much I wanted babies. And I love them with every single beat of my heart. And I'd step in front of a truck for them. But even they don't satisfy my heart fully. When our career takes off, oh, when I travel around the world, you know, when I was 23 years old, I hopped on a plane, I went over to America, I went to Europe, I traveled, I did all that. It was cool, but you get jet lag. That's not easy. When we get more money, when we pay off the mortgage, then I'm going to be happy then when I pay off the mortgage. That's what's making me upset. Okay. When we buy that hotted up car, you know that car that you want? Oh, when that's in the driveway, Then I'm gonna. Then I've got there, and it has to be a Ford, apparently. But I want to tell you something, and I'm not gloating, but I've experienced every single one of them, and not one of them satisfied or completed me. Not one of them has given me everlasting joy, nor has satisfied the longing in my heart, which can only be filled by God himself. Now, I want to tell you where I find that. Do you know where I find that? In my closet. When I'm in my closet and I literally sit down with all the shoes and I can smell them, and my closet doesn't have a window. It's one of those walk-in robes that you close the door and you sit there and you're like, but I put the music on and it's me and the Lord. You know, that is where I get it. That is where I get it. That's the most fulfilled I ever am. And I've learnt. Sometimes we've got a dream and we've got something in our hearts that we want, and we think once we've arrived and we get there, it's awesome. But when you arrive, you look back and you go, you know what was awesome? Presence of God all the way to it. That's where the richness is. He wants all of you. Number three truth, his timing prevails and his promises never fail. The lie that we believe is, oh, God doesn't have a plan for my life. When rejection enters our hearts, we feel abandoned. But that is a lie, and I'm here to smash it today. His plans for you are his promises to you. They're sealed, they're set, and they're made ready in his time. Now, often God will give you the promise before he gives you the miracle. He'll give you a dream. He'll give you a vision. Someone will speak a word. You'll just know I'm called to do something, and that's from him. Don't give up, though. That's the thing that we always do. We give up. We're good at it. Your time will come. Keep going. Keep doing good. And at the appointed time, the blessing will come. And you know what? It'll come suddenly, though it's taken years to cultivate. Isaiah 25:1 says, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Now, during my abusive childhood, I remember, I didn't know Jesus yet, but I could hear his voice. And I remember he said to me, one day you will have freedom. And it came. He promised me my own family, and it came. He promised me my own home, and it came. He promised me, I'm going to take you to a spacious place. And guess what? I'm here in Bundaberg now. He promised to deliver me and my house, and he did. He did. One day when I got a bit more strength, I am going to share that testimony with you. But I need the Lord to really fuel me up for that. His promises have never failed, not even one. Number four truth, he'll open the heavens over you. Are you ready for it? When you obey him. The lie is, God won't open any doors for me. When rejection enters our hearts, we want to run or rebel because we believe the lie. But obedience is key. Honor the Lord. Honor his word. Honor his authority. Submit to his ways. Honor your mother and your father. Honor your leaders. Honor them. Because when you do that, God opens doors that no man can shut. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16 says, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Luke 6:49 says, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Double, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And in this room, you know who I'm talking about. Our leaders, the teachers, the preachers deserve double honor. So if you greet me with a hug today, I need two, okay? Just for today, okay? Because I don't normally do this, but I'm doing it today, okay? Two hugs. Honor them. The number five truth is he wants you to work. We don't hear this much in church, but he actually wants you to work. The lie is, I'm not good enough to do anything and I don't want to work. A lack of confidence can lead to, and I'm speaking because I was in this situation, okay? This was me. Can lead to laziness. Laziness produces nothing but feelings of worthlessness and the cycle begins. When I experienced depression just before I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't feel good enough to go out there into the world and contribute because I had too much time on my hands to ponder negative thinking. We must renew our brains, our minds. Renew your mind to the Word of God. We must work. I found myself in a destructive cycle of feeling so worthless and down that it made me physically tired. So then I'd sleep, I'd stay home, I'd do nothing, which solidified the fact that I wasn't contributing, and days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, and then I hit rock bottom. Up until that point, I had no leadership. I didn't have anyone showing me the way. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do and do it. Look around the room, okay? This room, this building, how did this come to be? Hard work. Sweat. I'm telling you, when you work out there and you do what the Lord has done, has asked you to do, and you do it as you're doing it for him. Lord, this is for you. Lord, I'm working for you. I'm sweating for you right now. You're bringing glory to him. Glory to the Lord by doing what he's called you to do. And in turn, doing it for the good of man. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. And you will feel good about yourself. We live in a culture that doesn't want to work. And especially since COVID, I've noticed, things have gone on a down slider. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 13:4 says, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs 14:23, now this is in the Word, I'm not making it up. All hard work produces a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Live within your means. Seek God on what you should do financially and pursue it. Buy that old house, renovate it. Do that course. You know that course that you want to do? Do it. Get out in your garden. Pull the weeds out. Make your bed every morning. Keep your house clean and in order. Rewrite your resume. Freshen it up. Serve in the house of the Lord. Serve here, wherever God is calling you, and you will see a reward for your work. You know, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the garden out of Eden to work it and keep it. Whether you're a pastor, a construction worker, a teacher, a waitress, an office worker, or a stay-at-home mum, work is foundational in God's good creation. And it's to reflect his glory. You know, if we were all called to sip pina coladas in a hammock 24/7, oh, that would be kind of cool for a bit. But it would get boring after a while, wouldn't it? It would. You know it would. Jesus himself was a carpenter. And his earthly dad, Joseph, was a carpenter too. God himself even got his hands dirty when he made man out of dust from the ground. Not only did God command us to work, but being created in his image as a creator, we're hardwired. We want to create. We want to work. Being productive eliminates the time to ponder on negative thinking. And as you know, the mind is a battlefield. When you work, do it as pleasing to the Lord and bring glory to him. Number 6, we're nearly there, okay? We're doing good. Am I doing all right? It's very practical, but it helped me, okay? It got me out of the pit. That's why I'm sharing it with you. And the Lord impressed it on my heart, so please take it. The truth is, he will bring you to maturity if you let him. The lie is, oh, this is the way I've always been, you know? I can't change that. My mum's like that. My dad's like that. I didn't grow up as a Christian. They're excuses. They are excuses. When I first became a Christian, I thought, oh, from that point onwards, my life was going to be rainbows and lollipops. It was going to be so good. In regards to the singing that I love to do, I thought, oh, I'm going to get a trouble-free highway of opportunities to sing for Jesus in the house of God. And I was so excited to get out of the smoky clubs and pubs that I used to work in. I thought, yay, it's going to be awesome. But the battle had only just begun. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. God rescued me from darkness, but now he had to deliver me. There is a time that we have to go through. There is a process, sanctification. I didn't just arrive here, you know. I didn't become a Christian. And, oh, Tim, can I preach now? Can I sing? Can I get up there and do everything? There was a process. God had to rescue me. He had to deliver me. He had to transform me and renew my mind. You know, God's not impressed with your gift, because he's the one that put it there in the first place. He put it in there. So he knows what you can do. He loves it. But it's not like he's wowed by it because he put it there. You know what God's impressed with? Your heart. He loves to see you using your giftings for his glory. But this is the overflow. It's not the gift that dazzles him. It's your heart behind the gift. There will be opposition to the calling he's placed on your life, but if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, when that opposition comes hurling at you, he will be your defender and he will make a way for you. But the key is not to give up. I've given up in the past. When it got too hard, the enemy won, because I did. I thought, I can't do this anymore, Lord. But you know what I've learned? If we don't stick it out, if we don't stay the course, we're just going to come round that mountain again. We're going to do it all again until we've learned the lesson. Then once we've learned the lesson that God was trying to teach us, we will be exalted. The Bible says that those that humble themselves will be exalted. Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. I gave my heart to Jesus in 1998, so 25 years ago. But I had to wait 5 years before I ever got on a stage in church. 5 years I was going to church because God was delivering me. He was refining me. And then I was making the choices to let go of stuff. Let it go. Let it go. And it wasn't easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's doable. It is doable, and God wants you to. Now, once the pastors that had walked me through heaps of deliverance and healing, they knew it was time. You know, they knew it was time for me to get up there and use the giftings. So it got out, Danielle can sing. So I started singing this song one day. And the worship pastor at the time went from loving me, being the most sweetest person, to all of a sudden having this thing for me, where every time I would walk into the room, she'd give me those gleary eyes, and she was bitter. She was so bitter. And I thought, Lord, what do I do? What do I do with this? And I want to tell you that the battle got so hard between me and that lady that I ended up running away. And I had years of no fruit as a result of running. So I want to encourage you, even in church, when you go through something difficult, when you go through something and you think, oh, how am I going to get past this? Don't run. Stay the course. Because God knows. And I've learned to endure hardship. And you know, in our culture as well, we don't know what it is to endure hardship like they do overseas. Overseas right now, the people are enduring hardship. But when we endure our hardship, we have to keep going despite opposition. Number 7, and this is the last one, okay? His word has final authority. Final authority. The lie is, I want to seek answers in every other place but the Word of God. A lot of us have this tendency to go somewhere else instead of to the Word of God. But deliverance, obedience, healing, forgiveness, intimacy, and the anointing of God and everything that He has for you comes from applying the Word of God. Now, I had this analogy in my mind, and we go to Kelly's Beach lots in summer, right? If we don't put the sunscreen on when we go to the beach, we're going to get burnt, okay? We're going to come home and we're going to feel it. And it's the same thing with our Bibles. If you don't apply this word to your mouth, to your life, and speak it out of your mouth, if we don't apply it, it's like you're not applying the sunscreen today. Apply this word. Speak it out of your mouth. By doing that, you're putting it out there. And it cannot return void. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." It's His word. And I love John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Every time you speak the Word, you're speaking God. Every time the enemy will come and say, "Oh, that's not working." Don't listen to him. Okay? Listen to the Word. 2 Corinthians 10:5, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ." Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Now, this is why songs are so powerful, because when you sing out those words, you're hearing the word, it's producing faith, you're sending out the word into your circumstances, and it will not become void, will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. All right, you ready? Now we're going to get to the end of this. We're going to deal with the spirit of rejection in this room, okay? We're going to do it. There are a lot of us in this room who feel you cannot move past the point that you're in right now because you've experienced rejection and the lies that the enemy has planted as a result of the rejection. We're going to undo those lies as a church together. Are you ready to do this? I want to tell you quickly before we do this that when I declared the word of God over my life, it changed my life. Get up every day. And you know how like people take medicine 3 times a day? Take the word of God. This is your medicine. All right. Can you repeat after me, church? Okay. Lord, you are my light and my salvation. You are the strength of my life. I will not fear anything or anyone. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, I have been adopted as your child according to the good pleasure of your will. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I curse the spirit of rejection and I receive the Holy Spirit, who has adopted me." Woo! Yay! Now, you just spoke scripture straight from the word. So if you want me to email you a copy of that, you can do that 3 times a day, and I'm telling you, your life will change. If you feel the heat, if you feel it getting a little bit worse, that tells you it's working. And not to give up. Jesus' name. That's it.